Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Game with words and facts, where the knowledge is passed down from father to son.
My father taught me that the navel is used for storing salt when you're eating tomatoes in bed.
It's the game where the best clues to the answers are the experiences of a lifetime.
I once rang the bell at a Harvard dorm, and
I'll say she did.
What goes in the bell tower stays in the bell tower.
So come hear the kind of humor that would make my father proud. His motto, when writing comedy, always steal quality.
And even though Richard Shirk cannot show his face at WGBH when we say it, this isn't... No, right.
It wasn't bad, actually. Yeah. Says You, coming up next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In Cyprus, an emergency debate in Parliament on a $13 billion bailout deal with international lenders has been postponed and had been scheduled for today, but a parliamentary official says it's been pushed back to tomorrow. The bailout has provoked widespread anger in Cyprus. The European Union and the International Monetary Fund are demanding a one-time tax of up to 10% on all savings accounts to help pay back the rescue money. Fiona Mullen is an economist who lives in Cyprus.
Shock and awe, I think, is the only way to describe it. We knew there was a possibility that they would take the deposits of people above the insured threshold, so above 100,000, but nobody thought that they'd take someone with €5 in the bank.
Mullen spoke to the BBC. The Reuters news agency says the deposit tax was agreed to because of foreign deposits in Cyprus, estimated at 37% of the total. China's new premier, Li Keqiang, named air pollution and corruption as top priorities for the Communist Party's new leadership to tackle. As NPR's Frank Langford reports, the comments today came during Li's first press conference in his new job.
In focusing on corruption and pollution, Li chose two problems that are most obvious and frustrating for ordinary Chinese. In January, smog blanketed much of eastern China and at times made Beijing practically uninhabitable. Pollution experts say the technology exists to reduce air pollution, but it will mean confronting powerful interests, including rich state oil companies that distribute high-sulfur, heavy-polluting gas. Tackling corruption won't be easier either. For years, many people have pursued government jobs here to take advantage of China's boom and line their pockets, not serve the country. On foreign policy, Li said China is committed to strong relations with the United States and continued to deny that Beijing is behind cyber espionage targeting American firms. Frank Langford, NPR News, Shanghai.
Pope Francis has been out and about at the Vatican on this, the first Sunday of his papacy. Bells of St. Peter's Square after Francis spoke from the window of the papal apartments with tens of thousands looking on. NPR's Sylvia Pajoli is at the Vatican. She says prior to his balcony appearance, Francis said Mass at a tiny church just inside the Vatican's walls.
Pope Francis this morning celebrated Mass in what's called the Church of Sant'Anna, which is inside the Vatican, and it was a Mass for the residents of the Vatican. There are some people who actually live inside the Vatican, employees and their families, and the church is right, let's say, close to the border between Vatican City State and Rome. And he was greeting people coming out of the church, and then he saw all these crowds out on the street. There was a barrier, but he went all the way out there and started shaking hands with people and talking, and the security guards were really quite agitated. I'd say if I were in control of security here, I would have been pretty nervous.
NPR's Sylvia Pajoli reporting. This is NPR News. In Ohio, two high school football players charged with raping a 16-year-old girl after a party last summer are awaiting a verdict. Testimony in the case wrapped up this weekend, and the judge says he will announce his verdict shortly. The case drew national attention to the small town of Steubenville after photo and video images were posted online that appear to document the alleged assault and its aftermath. The Environmental Protection Agency says average fuel economy rose to 23.8 miles per gallon in 2012, Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton reports it's the largest annual improvement since the agency began tracking fuel economy 37 years ago.
The EPA says 2012, while a landmark year, was just the latest sign of a positive trend. The agency calculates fuel economy rose 16% in the past 5 years, while CO2 emissions dropped 13%. The report notes that the number of hybrid and electric cars has increased significantly since 2007, but most of the change is related to more fuel-efficient traditional vehicles. That includes bigger vehicles. The EPA says the number of SUVs and trucks that get better gas mileage than they did 5 years ago has skyrocketed 71%. Stricter federal standards aim to double average fuel economy by 2025. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton.
A memorial mass is planned tonight on the campus of Seton Hill. It's a small Catholic liberal arts school located near Pittsburgh. The school lost its women's lacrosse coach in a tour bus crash. The bus carrying the lacrosse team veered off the Pennsylvania Turnpike and crashed into a tree. The crash killed the coach, who was pregnant, and the bus driver. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, proud sponsor of StoryCorps, celebrating American stories and American lives.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio and the Basin Harbor Club, celebrating 125 years of hospitality on the shores of Lake Champlain. On the web at basinharbor.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Basin Harbor Club on the Vermont shores of Lake Champlain, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's climbed Mount Rainier, flown over the Matterhorn, but it's here in the Green Mountains that he's peaked. Barry Nolan. Cheese. She's kayaked and canoed from sea to sea, but it's Lake Champlain floats her boat. Francine Akbar. And he always goes to the seashore to get loose, but he comes to Vermont to get stiff. Mr. Tony Khan.
I'll be leaving presently. If I understand half of what you said.
Who is the captain this time?
Barry.
It's the old Matterhorn.
Barry will be the captain. To my left, team two, he's our Beltway insider, our man in Foggy Bottom, a regular Capitol fellow, Murray Horwitz. Gee. She proudly carries her native Boston background and seldom comes off full of beans, Carolyn Faye Fox. And she's thought of as big in Little Compton, but she's a sporty compact up here, Miss Lenore Shannon. Who receives the mantle of leadership?
I think it's me, and I'm going to need to sit on Tony's book for this one.
Lenore will be the captain.
I thought I'd start the day with some pep presents for my teammates. And so we stopped by this charming, Tony was with us actually, this charming resale store called Sweet Charity. And so for Carolyn, Poca 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 with Paul Potsky and his Pumpernickels.
Oh, Lenore!
Excellent.
Not many people know this. You don't know, this is rare, because Paul Potsky was the Polish-Cambodian dictator. Not many people know.
No. Feel free to express yourselves.
And for my friend Murray, who knows his way around a musical, hot honky-tonk piano, Hap O'Hallahan on the Ricky Ticky.
All right.
I am so happy to be here. We had a little incident where a tire on the car went flat, which was noticed immediately by Fletcher at the front door. A few other guys showed up, and before 20 minutes went by, I had a spare tire on my car. It was amazing. It was like AAA, but with really good-looking guys.
I'm actually missing a tire on my car. Not to point a finger.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. And some people came with pen and paper earrings, which I thought was absolutely wonderful.
Really?
You're right.
Let's begin. Perhaps we'd all be a little handier if we knew what specific tools and hardware were used for.
Oh,
hence, this category called If I Had a Hammer. For 7 points, please describe the following tools, and for an additional 3, tell me what I might most effectively use them for. That's a terrible sentence. Tell me when I might most effectively use them. Carolyn, a keyhole saw.
A keyhole saw is what you would use to inflict injury upon yourself.
10 points, yeah, that's very good. That's correct. But I do need you to flesh that out just a little bit.
A keyhole saw is something you would use to saw into a lock to make a keyhole.
Well,
that's one of the worst
things. Yeah, no. You use it inside a small hole to saw out and around. That's what you use.
That is one use. Yeah, can you describe it at all?
It's like eating your way out of a cheesecake.
It's really long, thin, and narrow.
Yeah, and sharp.
Is it the thing that has the little rotor on the end of it that goes around like that?
No.
Okay.
It's a tiny, narrow, long saw that you...
Yes, often tapered, but not always, but often tapered. Yeah, I'm glad that you got the 10 points for that. Anybody want to help on this side?
It's what you use if somebody sees you looking in a keyhole.
What are you doing? I mean, I'm sawing.
Just the kind of help I was looking for.
It's actually a category of evidence in a divorce case. How do you know? Keyhole saw,
yeah. It's also called a pad saw, an alligator saw, a lot of other things. A drywall saw, but it's a long, narrow, sometimes tapered saw used for cutting small, often awkward features in various building materials, and of course making holes bigger, as you said. Very good. Try this one, Tony. What might the following tool be? Nibblers.
Oh, no.
It's what I used to have right here. I've since become porcelainized, plasticized creatures from China.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like anything I could really pound my thumb with.
No, you couldn't pound your thumb with this.
Nibbler, it's a tool that you use of getting yourself very quietly out of really tricky situations.
I think Barry can help you.
I think Barry might be able to help you.
Barry's making a gesture here.
It looks like a tweezer. He's making a tweezer gesture?
Not so much a tweezer. Isn't a nibbler a thing that helps you get a grasp of a small edge of something so that you can break it off or move it? Kind of like pliers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? With their knowledge of tools, that's a 10-point answer. Yes, that's a... A 10-point answer I'll hear about for months, I'm sure.
Is it a kind of clamp? I think it's a clamp.
No, not really. No. It is used to cut sheet metal without bending or distorting the metal, as opposed to snips or shears. And it is that little pliers-like device that you hold the metal with so that when you go to cut it, you can cut flat edges. Try this one. Oh, I love this. Try this one, Murray. What might the following things be used for, and describe them? Fish wires.
Fish wires.
Well, if you can't get a salmon on the phone,
and Lord knows we've all had that problem.
Listen, a fish wire. I'm wondering if this is also a cutting tool.
It is not a cutting tool.
Well,
but
then I'm wondering. Think about that no longer.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute.
It's a snaking tool.
A fish wire is when you go in to hook something or to get something out of a small space.
Do you have anything in particular that you would use it for?
To grab an electrician would use it to grab a wire that's in a wall.
Yes. Come on, girl.
Yeah. I don't know how she knows this, but that's a very good mission. That's exactly right.
I have the faintest idea how I
know. So you can also use it to grab an electrician.
Yes, you can grab an electrician.
Stuck behind
if you
wall.
Use it at home, you might be electrocuted.
Yes. Electricians attach their wires in this narrow little strip of flexible steel to enable them to fish them through conduit and walls much more easily, and that's exactly what that is. Very good. Try this one, Francine. What might you use the following for? French curves.
Oh. That's, you know, like it's like a protractor, only it's
I think what Francine might use French curves for is different from what I might use.
You never know.
She is well endowed with them already. It is a drafting tool, isn't it?
It's a drafting tool, isn't it?
Richard, is it a drafting tool?
Or what?
Yes, it's a drafting tool. It is a drafting tool.
I hear it's a drafting tool.
And it enables you to make curves.
Yeah. Once again, you don't want to push this too hard. Anybody want to just give a... What does it look like?
Yeah, it's like a
like that. Okay, fine. That was
like
good.
It's a see-through piece of plastic that has markings on it that help you determine where the marks go.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a kind of on the je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, it's a
kind of curve. With a quelque chose to it. That,
right. I always think of a G-clef or something like that. It looks a little
like
that.
It looks like a wave, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It looks like a wave.
What is it used for, actually?
But it has many different types of curves are carved into them, and they're used in manual drafting, quite often for molding.
Yes.
To create moldings.
Yes, molding.
Try this one, Lenore. If you get this, I won't believe it. What might you use a creeper for?
A creeper... is used to catch fish. Yeah. As bait. Yeah.
With a fish wire.
A creeper.
Oh. This is different from a creepy crawler.
It's also called, and I will give you this, and it's also called a creeper dolly.
Yeah, that's for fixing cars. Dolly.
So you get on your back and go under the car on it.
Boy, they're really getting there. Very good. When your mechanic slides out from under your car and tells you the bad news... He's lying on a creeper dolly, so that's what that is. Very
then
good.
You lie down on it after he tells you how much it's going to cost.
They haul
that
you
transmission.
Out.
Yeah. And even though Richard Scher cannot show his face at WGBH when we say it, this isn't... No,
right. Yeah. It wasn't bad, actually. Yeah. And finally, Barry, try this one. What's a knee kicker? Think this one through.
A knee kicker.
Well, what household things have knees in them? Because it probably is used to straighten out a bent something.
Well, it's used to straighten out something in a way. That's
I know Mo used to use it to straighten out Curly.
Yeah, right.
Oh, just a minute. Is this to do with heating pipes that make an angle?
What a wonderful guess. Incorrect. No. But a wonderful guess. Okay. No, it does not.
Knee kicker.
A knee kicker. So, it does involve something that's bent.
In a way. But I don't want to throw you off too much.
Something's bent in a way, but that would be...
Is it to do with protecting your knees?
Well, part of it is to protect your knees, but part of it has another function.
It's what you use to let your spouse know under the table that you are not going to pay the estimate.
Yeah. This is used in installing wall-to-wall carpet.
He is exactly right.
Barry,
that was a good one. How did you come up with that one, Attica?
Having once watched someone work.
Yes, exactly.
I was exhausted by the experience, but clearly informed by the experience.
Wow. That was great. Wow. It's used to pull carpet tight during installation by gripping the carpet on one end and having a padded end to slam with your knee on the other side, pulling it in the direction you want. That's what it is. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from the Will Patton Quartet. Thanks, guys. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Lenore, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Barry if he can locate the truth teller, or to you, Lenore, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word flug. F-L-U-G, flug. Gentlemen? Northern Tier Statements stops in the Green Mountains of Vermont Saturday, April 20th for a live performance of the show. It's Stow It, an alpine evening of quips, quotes, music, and wordplay at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stow, Vermont. Tickets, information, and details are available at sayou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we promise to show you how to join the fun. So remember, that's Saturday, April 20th at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stow, Vermont. Come share an alpine idol with the gang from Says You. Says You returns after this from home. Its sesquiannual return to Seattle, Washington. On June 22nd and 23rd, we'll become Soulcesters as we once again invade Town Hall with special guests and musical surprises. Tickets, information, and details for these matinees are available, of course, at sayou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. Other dates for this spring will be posted in the next few days on the site, and we hope you'll keep your eyes peeled to see if this is the year you'll be able to catch a live performance of the show. That's the Will Patton Ensemble. That's Will Patton on mandolin, David Gusikoff on the violin, Clyde Statz on the bass, and Don O'Shabner on the Martin D18. Nice to see you guys. Thank you. Let me take a moment and introduce our scorekeepers. That's Lucas Keating and Noah Dart. Thank you guys for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word flug. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Flug, the process of setting up traffic cones. Flug 'em, Dano.
The process of setting up traffic cones.
She stands by that.
Is to flug.
Profile and courage.
All right. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Murray?
I actually, straight up, I lived through one of these one time when, as a boy coming back from a fishing trip in Canada with my father and a friend of his who was a pilot, coming back in a Piper Cherokee, I think, and landing at the Dayton Municipal Airport, the wind shifted, like, all of a sudden, and the air traffic control had not told him about it, and the motor stalled, and we almost got blown. It was really scary. And he went in and raised a ruckus with the air traffic controller. A flug is a sudden shift in wind direction, and the only derivation I could think of for it was if somebody called up and said, "You want to fly? Ugh, the wind is shifting."
Feel free to boo at any time. I don't want to stifle
well,
your initiative.
I can take it. Yeah. I can take it. Is that all you got?
Like to hear that kind of self-expression. That's what we're all about here. It could be that. It could be the sudden change in wind direction, or it could be something else. Lenore?
Well, actually, it's lint that accumulates in old stuff that's been hanging around for a really long time. For instance, when my son finished school this year, he had worn his blazer for two straight years. He went to school where you had to wear a jacket, and we really had enough to make a stuffed animal when we emptied his pockets. It also might be the kind of lint that you would find in body parts that you have. Body parts that could accumulate lint or things like
I
that.
I think we got the drift here. Yeah, I think we're...
It's lint that accumulates someplace where it's not supposed to. How about that?
Lint.
Where is it supposed to accumulate? Right.
Yeah.
In the lint trap.
In the lint trap, I guess, would be the only place.
Plug.
So, you know, I set up the lint trap, and, you know, it just doesn't attract all the lint in the house. It doesn't trap it.
Yeah, what am I paying for here?
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
All I know is I tried to make a joke. It was, you know, and I got booed. She's talking about lint in your body parts, and it's like, oh.
Well, have you ever tried it?
That's true.
Well, it is either lint that accumulates in pockets and body parts, a sudden change in wind direction, or the process of setting up traffic cones. It is one of the three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
Plug.
Gotta admire the way Carolyn just went for it, you know, without any filigrees, any little playing with the words. She had the pride of somebody who had the truth or was lying through her teeth.
Francine?
I think the Carolyn one is questionable.
Suspect.
Yes, I think the Lenore one is questionable.
My father taught me that the navel is used for storing salt when you're eating tomatoes in bed. And
I'm learning so much more than
father.
I wanted to.
Yeah,
on this
right.
I'm not sure what to make of the wind shift because I don't know about that one.
I think it's the lint.
You do?
Yes.
Why not?
All right.
Okay.
Yes, folks, that's how we reach our decision.
That's right.
A careful, judicious process of winging it.
I'm just going to say that my husband flies a little plane, and I've heard a lot of expressions around flight and the like, and
yeah, well,
I've never heard...
Flug means flight in German, doesn't it?
You would know better than me.
Yeah, but I think he probably knows it too, Murray, so maybe he's trying to trip up the
news to me.
Part of me that knows what he knows.
Well, I've spent a lot of time around lint.
Yeah.
Then I hope you'll give us the benefit of your lint time and service.
And I think the word flug would fit nicely in that community with which I'm so familiar. So can we vote for that?
Good for you.
We'll go with Lenore, and flug is a form of lint.
Lenore, they have come to... Well, actually, the captain has come to the decision that flug means lint that accumulates... I don't want to discuss it. Is that what it is?
Flug. Lint found in navels and in the pockets. Old, seldom worn.
That's exactly what it is.
Those long years in lint land paid off.
I knew that someday all that time spent around lint would come in well spent.
Are you the one that does the laundry at your house?
I just do my lint. I mean my laundry.
Boy, that was an uneasy silence there for a minute, wasn't it? That's that laundry question. Let's go on to round three. Keith Heiberg of Brighton, Massachusetts, suggests we try a quick little round of infamous last words. Please tell me the famous individual whose tombstone bears the following epitaph. Oh. Carolyn, blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones.
Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare is exactly right. 10 points. Try this one, Tony. Who is buried neath the tombstone that reads, "The best is yet to come"?
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yes.
The best is yet to come. Is somebody with a wonderful sense of humor or a truly sweet disposition? Oh. Yeah, somebody in show business, perhaps?
The yeah, Wallace Beery, but it says Edna Best is yet to come.
Oh! Could it be somebody like Ed Sullivan?
It is not Ed Sullivan. That's a good guess. I like that.
I know Johnny Carson was, "I'll be back in a minute."
Is that right? I didn't have that.
I think
there.
So. Best is yet to come. Excuse Barry, me. You know the guy, Peter Pan? What's his name?
James M. Barry?
James M. Barry? No.
I don't think they're going to get it.
Is this a show?
How about
person?
Darwin? Darwin.
If it isn't, it should be. So I'm going to give you a few points for Darwin. It is a show business figure. I'll give you one more shot at it.
W.C. Fields.
No.
It is not.
No.
And
it's somebody involved in music.
It sure is.
And it's the best is yet to come. It's da-da-da-da-da-da.
George, no, it's not Gershwin.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it Frank Sinatra?
It's Frank Sinatra.
Best yet to come.
I'll give this side 5 points for show business and Charles Darwin. I think that's the most I can squeeze out of that. Try this one, Murray. Who rests neath the tombstone that says, "Together again"?
Wow.
Who had a split personality?
Oh, my gosh. Could it be?
What's this consultation going with? Yeah. Together again.
Well, someone died first in a couple.
It is more than one person buried. Together again.
So who's in
Abbott and Costello?
George Washington and Martha?
No.
I've been
Richard
there,
Burton, Elizabeth. No.
No.
Grant is Ulysses Grant and his wife?
No. It's somebody in show business.
It sure is.
Okay.
Batman and Robin.
George.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
No.
Why can't I think of his name?
George Burns.
George
Burns and Gracie Allen is exactly right.
Jack Benny. I'm confusing him with Jack Benny.
You got there. Do I give him the full 10 or?
Yeah.
Okay, full 10 points. You got there. You worked it out. Full 10 points for that.
We get 10 points.
All right. Try this one, Francine.
Great.
Who is buried neath the marker that reads, "A tomb now suffices him for whom the whole world was not enough"?
Oh, an explorer?
Well, not really. Not an explorer so much.
An astronomer?
No, good guess, though.
Not a scientist?
No.
Okay. Not Alexander Pope, either.
For whom the whole world was not enough.
Yep. That's the clue. A tomb now suffices him for whom the whole world was not enough.
This is someone who went out in space.
It is not.
The language is a little flowery for the space era.
Yeah.
Remember that dog, Laika?
I think so.
His last words were, "Houston, I've got a problem."
I should know that.
How about the poet who "The world is too much with us"?
Oh, what a great guess. No, you'll get points for that. This goes back away.
Yeah.
Alexander the Great.
Yeah, see, there's where it is. Alexander the Great. I'm going to give you 8 points for that. We did coax it out a little bit. Eight points, you think? Well, what do you think? 10 points?
George Burns, Gracie Allen.
We'll take 8 if you'll give Francine a ding.
Fine. Problem solved. You get 8 points for that.
Kind
of a Pavlovian player.
I guess. Lenore, who might be buried neath the marker that reads, "There goes the neighborhood."
Wow.
Groucho Marx?
Not no. Groucho Marx.
No, but it is somebody in comedy, right? It's a comedian.
W.C. Fields?
No. W.C. Fields' epitaph was, "I would rather be living in Philadelphia." Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but don't give away the next question or anything.
Wait a minute. There goes the neighborhood.
Right.
Oh, boy.
There goes the neighborhood.
Bob Hope?
No, he wouldn't be a Bob Hope.
Let me Rodney think. Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. That's exactly right. How about we give them the 8 points to even it out? Is that
and
fair?
No. And a ding. And a ding.
And a ding. And a ding. Yes, of course.
Do you know, my husband and son got me one of those bells, and they put it on the second floor, and instead of yelling their name, Eric or Alec, they make me ding the bell, and they report.
But don't you like dinging the bell?
Well, I love it. Because yeah. It's
but now you
fantastic.
Got all these suitcases on the first floor.
All right. And true to form, Barry always gets the hardest one, but try to figure this one out, Barry. Who might be buried neath the marker that reads, "He lies here somewhere"?
The mad
the
bomber.
Guy that, the guy that discovered nitroglycerin.
You're going to get points for that, but no, that's not... he lies here somewhere.
He lies here. Was this an explorer?
No.
No. Entertainment?
Nope. Not that either.
It's not an explorer. It's not a person in entertainment.
Now, in fairness, was it a burial at sea?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be...
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Just hold on.
Oh, of course. What's his name? You know, the gangster. Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, what a wonderful...
That's a sign at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you walk in. Do you actually think he is buried beneath the five-yard line at the Meadowlands? I think if I don't go to Lenore, she's going to explode over there. Who do you think, Lenore?
Houdini.
No, what a great guess.
Well, it should have been.
Yeah, it should have been. He lies here somewhere, but, of course, we're not really sure. We can never really be sure that he's here.
Because he's a tricky...
Because we're not sure he died.
An invisible man.
No. Anybody from the audience want to give it a shot? Heisenberg is exactly right.
Oh!
In the back of the room.
Oh! What a great thing!
Werner Heisenberg, he of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which of course says you can't trust any experiment because your observation compromises you. So he lies here somewhere.
Actually, it was you can know the exact momentary location or the vector, but not both simultaneously.
Thank you. I appreciate that because...
Wow.
That...
You know what? You know what? I'm grateful. Because write that, because that, I want that to be my epitaph. I really do. You can know the location, but not the...
What?
Have you ever thought about what you wanted for your epitaph?
No, but I will tell you my favorite epitaph. There was a wonderful comedian named Harry Hirschfeld. And Harry Hirschfeld, there was this big article, if you ever want to look this up, in Vanity Fair, the old Vanity Fair, edited by Frank Crowninshield in the 1920s, and he asked famous people what they wanted for their epitaph. And that's where W.C. Fields wrote, "I would rather be living in Philadelphia," and Dorothy Parker wrote, "Excuse my dust." But the best was Harry Hirschfeld, who said, "Here lies the body of Harry Hirschfeld, Esquire. If not, please notify M. Shapiro and Sons Undertakers."
I love it. I've often thought on my tombstone I wanted written, "This I hadn't counted on." But I don't know.
No, I would like, you know, it, with great respect and love, could I say, it should say, "Here lies the body of Richard Schur, says you."
Maybe yes, maybe no. Let's go on to round four. which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following words. Two will bluff. 10 points, Lenore, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word noop. K-N-O-U-P. Noop.
Is that gentlemen? Instant soup?
Just a quick reminder, Says You's spring tour, Northern Tier Statements, stops in Stowe, Vermont, Saturday, April 20th, for a live performance of the show at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe. Then it's off to Seattle, Washington, for dueling matinees, Saturday, June 22nd, and Sunday, June 23rd, at Town Hall, Seattle. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. So come join us in Stowe, Vermont, or Seattle, Washington, for a live performance of Says You. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. Says You. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. That's the Will Patton Ensemble. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Very nice. We've had a few moments with the word noop. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, I spent, as I was telling someone at lunch, I spent 2 years in the Boy Scouts making it to second class. And my downfall was knots. And no matter what knot I tried to master, it always ended up as a noop. Kind of like a mix between a granny knot and a bowl of tapioca pudding. So, no, actually, it's not. It's one of these onomatopoeic words, I think, you know, word based on the sound that it makes. It's a horse pill dispenser. You know how you... And I think it's probably the sound when the horse blows first.
Nope.
Nope. So, horse pill dispenser.
A horse pill dispenser.
Horse pill
the
dispenser.
The old, you know, pharmaceutical blow gun that you use there. That's a noop. That yeah, could be. Or it could be something else. Francine, what's your take?
Well, Tony was actually, surprisingly, going down the right road with knots and ropes. Because noop has to do with the swinging rope motion that makes a church bell ring.
Has to do with it?
It has to do with it.
Yes.
What exactly does it have to do with it?
It's a friendly relationship.
If you noop that rope, you're making the bell ring.
The swinging of the bell rope is nooping the bell.
Or canooping.
Or canooping, right. You canoop. In Sweden, you canoop.
Careful not to canuck yourself.
You're right. You're ringing that church bell, you're nooping by pulling the rope back and forth. That could be it. Or Barry, what say you?
Noop is soup for people with pneumonia. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Noop is a wire hanger for tools.
That's it. A wire hanger for tools is a noop.
Speaking of tools, as we were earlier.
That could be it. It could be
you
that
could
wire.
You put your French hips on your noop.
Yes.
It could be that wire hanger for tools. It could be ringing the church bell, or it could be the horse pill dispenser. It's one of those three, and the choice, Lenore, falls to you.
Well, I just can't imagine going up to a horse, getting its mouth open, yeah, and then getting a to do a to blow a. Well, first you'd have to get him to tip his head back, because otherwise he'd just go, and it would come out. I think you... does a horse take a pill?
I was just going to say.
Of course they do.
So let's just table that for now. The swinging motion that rings a bell, does it say what figure... Is it a noun, Francine, or is it a verb, or could you maybe...
Yes.
Is she allowed to ask those questions?
No. Am I?
She's allowed to ask them.
Oh, well, now wait just a minute.
Right, it's a part of speech.
Actually, you have hit a nerve, Lenore, because I think she kind of shifted in her answer. First it was the motion, or it had to do with the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said, well, if you actually swing a rope, you are nooping. And make up your mind, Francine.
Okay.
Well, she might be thinking of looping.
And then a wire hanger for tools. Didn't I tell you no wire hangers?
Right.
So I don't know if Richard would go to the toolbox twice in one show, necessarily.
I once rang the bell at a Harvard dorm, and nobody
else did.
Thanks, class of 1980 Harvard graduates, yeah, please keep your mouths shut. Right.
I never heard the word noop.
Like right, and you would have.
So that
goes
was
in the
bell tower stays in the bell tower. And Murray, what do you...
I think a horse pill... a horse pill dispenser, it's kind of like, Willie, hand me that noop. I just don't see it. I mean, I'm not saying... Whereas, a wire hanger for tools sounds like it's plausible to me.
Also sounds like a loop, though.
Well, much as I'd like to see this drone on and on.
Lenore, you're the captain.
Oh, this is what I hate about captaining.
Which one do you...
Horse pill dispenser.
No.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just stop. No, which one do you favor?
Children, don't do this at home.
Maybe Francine.
Either Francine
around.
Or Barry pick one. Because
Francine
or Barry
was
pick
so
one. Francine
imprecise.
Was shifting a lot and imprecise.
Yeah, she was very
fine,
shifting.
Francine, then.
You're going to pick Francine.
Yes, it's peer pressure. I think it's the horse pill dispenser because it's so ridiculous.
When, which one are you going with? You're the captain.
Horse pill dispenser.
You go there. You go there.
Let's have it.
What do you think, audience? Was that a good decision on her part? No, well, mixed reviews.
Nay!
Mixed reviews, but let's see. The captain has stepped up and said that noop is the horse pill dispenser. Tony, is that in fact what a noop is?
Nope.
It is not. Okay, audience, what do you think it is? How many say the hanger? How many say the ringing the church bell? Oh. Well, this audience is going big time for the wire hanger for tools. Is that what it is, Barry?
No.
It is not. Because the answer actually is...
Noop. To ring the church bell.
That's what it is. 10 points for Barry's team.
I know how you feel.
This show needs more whimsy.
I will tell you that horses do take pills.
It's a barn burner out there going into the last round.
In Vermont.
What is it? 58 points for Lenore's team, 63 for Barry's team, so it's close. Let's see what happens. When I arrived at the club yesterday, I was handed an envelope. Turns out Jim Gilhooly and Gloria Deal, suspiciously from Georgia, Vermont, had an interesting twist on a Vermont round of Odd Man Out. They are in the front row today. You don't like this question? I'll point out their seats. A word associated with Vermont precedes each word in the following list. All that is but one. 5 points for identifying the odd man out, five more for telling me why. For example, if I gave you the list team, house, land, yard, and foot, you might realize that the word farm comes before farm team, farmhouse, farmland, farmyard, but I couldn't think of a farm foot that really fit the bill there. Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
Stain, S-T-A-I-N. Salt, S-A-L-T. Sugar. Leaf. And syrup.
Okay, the odd man out is salt.
And why is that?
Because there's no maple salt.
There is no maple salt. 10 points. These will get progressively harder, so let's keep working on it. Try this one, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
What's the odd one out and why? Back, B-A-C-K, of course. Hip. Thumb.
Oh.
Room. And horn. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got your green back, your green thumb, your green room, and horn.
Green horn.
Green horn, so it's
green hip.
Green hip, I mean.
That's exactly right. The key Vermont word is green. And, of course, the odd one out is I couldn't think of a green hip either, although.
Well, it's actually used for environmentalists who like jazz. They are among the green hips.
That's going to be edited out for a totally different reason than normally. Try this one, Murray. Hawk. H-A-W-K. Bird. Hand. Lick. L-I-C-K. And slip.
Wow.
Hawk, bird. I told you they get progressively harder. Hawk, bird, hand, lick, and slip.
Cheddar hawk.
I was thinking that.
Cheddar. Old cheddar hand. Here comes cheddar hand.
Yes. Bird call. Moose hawk.
No, hold on a second.
Bird call.
What? No.
Give him a second here.
Oh! Ooh, wait, what? What? Oh, right! Good for you.
Cow. Cowbird.
So the album's hawk is the odd man out.
That's exactly right.
Well done.
10 points.
Lenore Shannon, ladies and gentlemen.
Try this one, Francine. Jump.
Oh.
Ski.
I hate to say this. He's absolutely right. Jump, run, tree, trail, and run. Oh, my goodness. You're right.
Oh!
All right. Allow me to read the list now that I've blown the question. Jump, run, tree, trail, and
tree.
Run.
Tree.
Tree is
there
the
is
odd
no
one.
There is no ski tree.
There's no ski tree that we know
not
of.
Not with
so.
Safe skiing, anyway.
Yes, that's the 10 points you want. All right, try this one, Lenore. What's the odd one out? Bank. B-A-N-K. Job.
Yeah. Snow.
Snow, it's snow. So what's
cap? Fence.
Fence is the other
one. And coin.
Snow coin is not a word.
Snow coin.
Yeah.
It's exactly right. They're killing you. They're just killing you on this one, Jim. But this is a great category. I really like this. And finally, Barry, I think there's nothing resting on this but the whole game. So don't, no pressure. What's the odd one out and why? Snake. Weed, W-E-E-D, dog, man, and run.
Snake, weed, dog, man, and run.
Yeah, I think so.
Dog? There's dog weed, but I guess dog would be the odd man out in that. But it must not be dog. Garden man, garden run, no. Vermonti.
Does it have anything to do with quilt?
No. Ooh, yeah. We might get him on the end here.
There's ice cream, maple man, no.
Well, take us. So you got to get some points. So take a shot at what the odd one out is.
Oh, yeah.
The odd man out would be dog.
Sled.
The odd man out is dog. That's 5 points.
Okay. Tony, take
why?
Well, I was going to say sled, but that would be wrong. Okay.
Nope. 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 We got
all right. So snake, weed, man, and run have one thing in common.
I think the other side have it. You
cheddar,
got it.
Cheddar snake, cheddar weed, cheddar man, cheddar run. Run, Cheddar, run. It's what you mean. So, isn't that what you people here use in the first grade?
I don't think they're going to get it. I'm going to have to go to the other side for...
Lactose.
There is no milk dog.
Milk.
There is no milk dog. That is correct.
Oh, milkman, milk dog.
That means... Oh, my goodness gracious. That means that for the second time in our stay in Vermont... We have a tie to end this game. 88 teams for both points. 88 points for both teams. Congratulations. Wow.
I feel like I've just kissed my sister.
Yeah, there you go. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Tim Link and all the folks here at the Basin Harbor Club. Also to Ty Robertson, Robin Turnow, and all the good folks at Vermont Public Radio for their long friendship. Yes, Richard Scher and Philip Salkind are the writers. Antonio Oliart mans those meters. And Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. So long from Vermont, where in Barry, all residents are required to bathe on Saturday night. And whistling underwater is strictly forbidden. We don't know why, but thanks for the hospitality, Vermont. And we'll see you all next week. Support for Says You in Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio and the Basin Harbor Club, celebrating 125 years of hospitality on the shores of Lake Champlain. On the web at basinharbor.com. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Support for WPLN comes from the Adventure Science Center, where visitors can explore inside the human body, climb to the top of Adventure Tower, see a laser show in the planetarium, and more. Open every day. Information is at AdventureScienceCenter.org. From Austin Peay's Center of Excellence for the Creative Arts Visiting Artist Lecture Series, featuring Andrea Dizot, Marjorie Trahern Lecture Hall, March 19, 5 p.m., apsu.edu/creative arts. And support comes from Middle Tennessee Collaborative Alliance and its members David McMillan and Amy Farrar, helping divorcing couples make sound, respectful decisions for their future, their children, and their finances with collaborative divorce. Online at mtcollab.com.
This
is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.
Today in Studio 360, the Queen of the...